You're listening to The Rant.
Please go away. Let me sleep for the love of God.
I am Kamala Harris. My pronouns are she and her. I am a woman sitting at the table wearing a blue suit.
You're listening.
So the best way to get something done, if you hold near and dear to you that you like to be able to. Anyway.
You fucking crazy, man. You sound insane. Do you realize that?
To the rant.
I speak jive.
Oh, good.
I've been saying it. I've been saying it for 10 damn years. Ain't I been saying it, Miguel? Huh? I've been saying it.
You are listening to The Rant with David King.
Everyone, welcome to The Rant. I am your host, David King. It is good to be here with you today on this February the 14th. Happy Valentine's Day. If you don't have a Valentine, I'm sorry. There's dating apps for that. My wife is working tonight. We will be celebrating Valentine's Day tomorrow. We're going to go out to a nice dinner. I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be, well, it's going to be pretty good. I'm excited. It's a place called Frankie's. Probably going to get me a delicious steak or something. And apparently they got really good chocolate cake. So I'm going to break diet, eat me some chocolate cake. But yeah, looking forward to that. Lots to talk about today on the show. So much going on in the country. If you haven't been paying attention to the news, it wouldn't matter because the news isn't telling you anything. You know, it's. I don't really like coming on here and talking about politics and current events. I used to love doing that. In fact, that used to be really what this whole entire show is about. If you guys can't see the old episodes because they were on a different streaming platform that I was using, but I had done months and months of episodes of. You know, right when the COVID-19 kicked off, I was doing episodes on that, you know, the presidential election, January 6th, everything. It was all there. And I have a few here. I mean, if you go back into the archives, there's plenty of episodes from last year that were, you know, politically based. And that's fine. I like doing it from time to time. I didn't, like, for instance, last year I did the State of the Union. This year I didn't. I just didn't. I'll be honest, I just didn't feel like talking about it. You know what I mean? I watched it. It was painful. And I'm like, now I got to go talk about this and break down all the tomfoolery. Listen, you know the truth. You know what's going on in your life. You don't need me to tell you what that man said, whatever that man said on the State of the Union. You don't need me to come on here and tell you whatever he said is true or whatever he said is false. You know what's true and false. You know what's going on around you. You can see what's happening around us. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today because that kind of segues into what I'm about to get into. You know what's going on. You go grocery shopping. You know how much it costs to get groceries today. Versus what it cost this time last year or the year before that. You know how much it costs to go get an oil change. You know how hard it is if you need to buy a new vehicle, if you're in the market to buy a vehicle, how difficult that is right now because of the chip shortage. If you've gone to that hospital, you understand how crazy it is to go to a hospital or a doctor's office because of existing COVID restrictions. Lack of staff. You know what's going on. I don't have to tell you. You may not be experiencing any of those things. Life might be perfect for you. And if it is, awesome. Good for you. I have to say, as a business owner, my wife's a business owner, and I know a few other business owners, a big problem right now is the lack of work. You know, Joe Biden was touting new jobs, but the reality of it is like most of the numbers that he's quoting off of is people returning to work or returning to the workforce post-pandemic shutdown. So the added jobs or the return of work, it's all fudged numbers, and it's really hard to know the truth. However, all you have to do is talk to business owners, and they will tell you they can't get anybody to work. They're having a hard time finding reliable people. I have a friend who owns a very big company in Athens, Georgia. I won't say the name of the company, but I've known him for a very long time, and he's grown that business from being him and maybe one other guy to now having like over 50 employees. It's unbelievable how much he's grown that business and how successful it's been. But I was talking to one of his people about just shooting the breeze, and they were telling us about how they cannot possibly get anybody to work. They cannot, first off, they can't even get people to show up for an interview. And then they show up for an interview, they get hired, and they don't work more than a week. Or maybe not even then. Maybe they don't even show up for their first day of work. And so there's something going on. So you know what's real and what's not real, and you don't need me to come on here and bark about it. And I didn't want to, because it just raises my blood pressure and it kind of puts me in a bad mood. But there are times where I have to come on here and talk. I have to talk about something that's going on in the world or in our country or in our around or in our surrounding area, like our local cities, communities, rather, where I have to come on here and I do have to talk about it. Not necessarily because I want to, but because I feel compelled to. You probably don't know about this, or maybe you do. But over a week ago, and that's hard to believe, because I thought, judging by the time when I found out about it, that it happened over the weekend. Come to find out, this situation happened on February the 3rd. That's over a week ago. It's almost 2 weeks ago. If you didn't know, there has been a train derailment in Palestine, Ohio, that caused a massive explosion. Well, let's put it this way. There wasn't a massive explosion, but the EPA showed up and officials showed up, and they had to drain these tanks, and it caused a gigantic explosion. Now, you may think to yourself, what's the big deal? Who cares? The people in the area probably knew about it. That's really all that matters. Why is this breaking news? Why is it national news? Well, it's breaking news, it's national news, because it released a tremendous amount of toxic chemicals in the air. They are comparing it to something of a Chernobyl-like incident, in that it released so many toxic chemicals in the air that farmers are reporting that their livestock have become acting very strange. There's one gentleman who says that he believes it has killed one of his animals and has affected the others. There's an article here now from Newsweek. Not Newsweek. I'm sorry, guys. Just the News reports now. As of today at 8:45 in the morning, at least 3,500 fish have been killed in a 7.5-mile stretch of Ohio. Of Ohio water, excuse me, after train derailment, officials say. The article goes on, at least 3,500 fish are dead across a 7.5-mile stream after a train derailed in East Palestine, Ohio, like I just said. The residents are expressing concerns that the toxic chemicals that were released last week, Ohio Department of Natural Resources wildlife officers found dead fish in Leslie Run, Bull Creek, and a portion of the North Fork of Beaver Creek. Agency spokeswoman Stephanie O'Grady told Just the News on Tuesday. The estimated stream length is approximately 7.5 miles. We continue to work with the Ohio EPA and the environmental company hired by Norfolk Southern to determine the number of fish that were killed, she wrote in an email. As of February 8th, we estimate the spill killed 3,500 fish. Most of the fish appear to be small suckers, minnows, darters, and sculpin. In order to avoid an explosion of toxic chemicals in the derailed train, officials released vinyl chloride. That is the key chemical here we were talking about today from some of the cars. East Palestine residents returned to their homes late last week after they were evacuated following the derailment. Four miles south of East Palestine in Negele, Ohio, resident Kathy Reese said dead fish appeared in a creek following through her backyard last week. Local outlet WPXI reported, "Don't tell me it's safe. Something is going on if the fish are floating in the creek," she said. And I have to agree 100%. Excuse me. If we're getting reports that the livestock are being affected, a man had who was rescued wolves, or not wolves, he rescued foxes. One of his foxes died not long after the train derailment and the explosion happened. He's saying he contributes to that. The rest of the foxes are all acting very peculiar and strange as well. And so it's certainly something to be concerned about. Oh, what the heck? I had pulled something up to show you guys, and unfortunately it went away. Some news I was trying to follow and get more information about the incident and what had happened. This is through a Twitter thread. They posted the photos and video. The photo is almost like something out of a movie. It's just this gigantic black cloud going into the sky. But what's even creepier about it is how, and I'll post a photo of this when I post the show. You can see it on the social media, but you probably have already seen it. But the black, there's a big black plume of smoke going up into the sky, big kind of mushroom cloud looking plume of smoke. But then you have just this black haze all around it. And it looks like, almost looks like a big dark storm cloud circling over the entire town. And that is what is concerning to me, because when you see all that smoke going up into the air like that, and then you can see it kind of hitting the, you know, the atmosphere up above the into this to the air, and it starts to scatter. There's no telling how far this stuff has traveled. We're getting reports now that they're finding maybe dead fish. I've heard some things about chemicals or people having reactions such as itchy, burning eyes, hard to breathe, burning chest, the symptoms that you would have felt there not far from the site, the ground zero of this event. They're feeling these symptoms several miles, several hours away as far as Cincinnati, Ohio. So there's no telling how far these deadly chemicals have traveled. So authorities burned off vinyl chloride, which is toxic and a carcinogenic, and released harmful and dangerous hydrogen chloride and phosgene into the air. So that's all the stuff that they burned and sent into the air. Like phosgene is a highly toxic, colorless gas, with a strong odor that causes vomiting and breathing troubles. And it was used as a chemical weapon in World War I. Some of the other things, hydrogen chloride is colorless to a yellowish gas with a strong odor that causes skin, eye, nose, and throat irritation. We have a gentleman here who kind of posted about this on TikTok. Let me see if I can get this brought up so we can listen to it and bring this into
getting a lot of coverage, and the coverage that it has been getting hasn't been very good. So let's talk about the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. East Palestine is about an hour north of Pittsburgh, almost halfway to Cleveland. Norfolk Southern has a rail line that goes right through town, and this derailment happened right on the edge outside of town on the border of PA.
Sorry Ohio. About the background music.
Of the cars that crashed, five of them contained vinyl chloride. It's a monomer used to make PVC. Some of the reporting on this has gotten vinyl chloride confused with polyvinyl chloride, the polymer made out of vinyl chloride. Now, the reason that this distinction is really important is vinyl chloride is very hazardous and very flammable. Polyvinyl chloride is a plastic that's used in like everything. Another thing about vinyl chloride is that it boils at 8 degrees Fahrenheit, so it's shipped in its liquid form, meaning that when these trains crashed and these started leaking, they weren't just leaking liquid, but they were spewing boiling gas. So vinyl chloride is really toxic. OSHA has the permissible limit of how much you can be exposed to it during an 8-hour shift as a 1 ppm part per million, average over 8 hours. So prior to this, the biggest spill of this chemical was in New Jersey, where one train car and about 23,000 gallons of vinyl chloride were spilled, but it didn't catch on fire. Now, this crash in Ohio has 5 train cars. These kinds of tanker cars can carry between 25 and 33,000 gallons. Let's call it 250 to 250,000 pounds of vinyl chloride. That's per train car, 5 train cars. There's maybe 1 million pounds of this toxic chemical spilling into the ground and also boiling off into the air. But then it caught on fire. I think this is where the reporting is really bad, because no one is mentioning what the byproduct of vinyl chloride burning is. Of the many byproducts of burning vinyl chloride, one of them is hydrogen chloride. Hydrogen chloride is really unstable and latches onto water, like just water vapor in the atmosphere, and that turns into hydrochloric acid. So right now, government officials, officials from the railroad, both the governor of Pennsylvania and Ohio are calling burning off the 1 million pounds of this stuff a success, but not mentioning that it means that we have hundreds of thousands of pounds of acid in the air, potentially. Now, ever since engineering school, I've studied a lot of industrial accidents. I just find it really fascinating, and organizations like the Chemical Safety Board, NTSB, and OSHA all have like really good reports available to the public. I think as a designer, it's really good to learn about mistakes. When looking at these kinds of industrial disasters across time, there are a couple things that are pretty universal across all of them. One, the responsible party, in this case, Norfolk Southern Railway, always plays down the reality of the situation. Politicians also just repeat the same lines, and then news outlets just repeat the same. So all we're hearing is the responsible party's word.
Yeah, so there you go. You know, that's, I think he laid it out much better than I could. You know, I'm here reporting the news to you, because here's the thing. I sent this text message to so many people. Did you hear about this? Nobody heard about it. Nobody knew it happened. This was as of, I think, yesterday or the day before. I had sent these text messages out, photos of the incident, because the photos were just so breathtaking. And not a single person knew. Huh? Didn't know about no train attack, train incident, no explosion. Why is it that the mainstream media feels the need to ignore this story? Why? Is it a conspiracy? I don't know. Maybe. You'd think that they would want to let people know, hey, oh, by the way, this train accident just caused a gigantic fire to occur, and now there's billions of acidic particles in the air floating around, clung to the moisture in the air, which is going to cause acidic rain and Lord knows any other amount of potential hazard to people's health. It says here, the Wisconsin Department of Health, this thread goes on. It says exposure to vinyl chloride can affect a person's liver, kidney, lungs, spleen, nervous system, and blood. Human and animal studies show higher rates of liver, lung, and several other types of cancer. So exposure to vinyl chloride may increase the person's risk of developing cancer. Human and animal studies show higher rates of liver, lung, several other types of cancer. Being exposed to vinyl chloride can affect a person's liver, kidney, lungs, spleen, nervous systems, and blood. People exposed to levels of 1 million parts per billion or more in the air may have an increased risk of miscarriage and birth defects. Damage to male sperm producing organs has occurred in laboratory animals as well. So this is a serious situation. They've evacuated the area, but they have since reversed the evacuation and they've allowed people to come back. I think this is dangerous and I think this is wrong. If it were me, I wouldn't let anybody near this place, and I personally would have evacuated maybe even further away. I would have said, get out, leave. And I would have said that this was a national emergency event. And the reason for it is because there are thousands and thousands of people living with and around this railway. And not only the people who are living around the railway, but we're also starting to see that these chemicals are leaching into the soil, getting into the water. They're killing fish. At this point, from what the article from Justin News says, 7.5-mile stretch of Ohio water. So 3,500 fish killed in a 7.5-mile stretch of Ohio water. So this chemical has already traveled 7.5 miles. And by that kind of logic, now, of course, it could have gone much further. Maybe it hasn't gone that far, but this is just the aftermath. It's just kind of the dominoes falling down down the line. As the fish die, they just float down. But nonetheless, this chemical has gone a lot further. The EPA has stated that... the EPA has stated the water is safe to drink and there's nothing to be worried about. But that's absolutely absurd in and of itself. Anyone who has ever lived on a well would tell you that that's insanity. Even if you're on city water supply, which is treated, I wouldn't trust it. This thread continues. The vinyl chloride burn occurred near the Ohio River, which flows directly into the Mississippi River. Now, that is very concerning. Thousands of farms may be affected by this. It's showing just the Mississippi. If this flows into the Mississippi River, it can flow into many other downstream river basins. You have the lower Mississippi River Basin, the Tennessee River Basin, Arkansas White Red River Basin. All of those are really connected to the Ohio River Basin. And so there's no telling how catastrophic this disaster could be. The EPA sent a letter to the rail company stating that the ethylene glycol monobutyl ether and the ethyl acrylate and the isobutylene were also in the rail cars. So now they have discovered three additional chemicals were discovered on this train as well. It's like this thing was a gigantic nuclear bomb just rolling down the road, the rail. And they've now discovered three more chemicals on this train derailment. Let's see here. So just reports from people who are farmers that own livestock here. Amanda Brashears found her chickens dead 10 miles from East Palestine. As soon as they started the burn, my chickens slowed down and then they died. If it can do this to chickens in one night, imagine what it's going to do to us in 20 years. This is what's scary. This is like 9/11, when everyone told you that it's safe to go outside after these two towers collapsed and all these asbestos and dust particles were in the air. And then so many people who were near the towers, who worked for cleanup, were in the rescue parties, all those people came down with serious lung cancer and other defects. And it took decades to get relief and to get assistance and to get help. In fact, that was one of the things. It's one of the things that I appreciate with Jon Stewart. He's a comedian. He's not always very funny. He's very liberal, but he is the one of all people, a comedian, led the charge to get these people the coverage that they needed because they've all come down with cancer. And now we're almost repeating it verbatim. It's like, no, everything's fine. Everybody, calm down. We're okay. You can go back to your homes now. I'm not so sure that's the case because, like I said, this woman's chickens died almost immediately after they started burning the chemical. Reports of dead fish. We talked about that. Dead fish and Leslie Run coming out of East Palestine. Check. God, we covered that. Taylor Holzer, a fox keeper. I spoke about him. One of his foxes died and all of them have been acting sick since the vinyl chloride burn. The chemicals we're being told are definitely not safe for animals or people. This is a very sad thing. These poor little foxes. They're probably, animals, the thing about animals, folks, we think that we so often believe that animals are a lot like us. But they're not always that way. In fact, they can be very sensitive to certain foods and chemicals and things in the air more so than us. So they can detect something's wrong, maybe even long before we could detect it, because they have such a heightened sense of awareness, especially their sense of smell. And so for these foxes to be acting squirrely could tell you that there's something definitely in the air and you're just not noticing it, not nearly as quickly as they are. I'm telling you, if I lived anywhere near this place, I'd be packing bags and gone. I don't even know if I'd come back. I just don't think I would feel comfortable to come back to that area for a while, not until I knew for sure or felt, you know, that they had gotten the all clear and it's been cleaned up. Interesting fact here, they're showing off who owns the top 10 railroad owners of Norfolk Southern Corp. So Norfolk Southern is the owner of this railway, the owner of the train that derailed. So the top three are Vanguard, JP Morgan, and BlackRock. So that's not very good. That's almost a kind of conspiracy in and of itself. Certainly not very, doesn't make you feel very good when you see those three names as the owners of this company. You start seeing things like this happening. The East Palestine, Ohio toxic chemical burn may be the largest environmental disaster in U.S. history, the reporting. A former resident of East Palestine says it is much worse than the media is telling us. The water has been contaminated. The soil is contaminated. The effing air is now contaminated. Three new dangerous chemicals were found. I already talked about that. Netflix, weirdly enough, in this thread, they posted how Netflix recently released a film called White Noise about a train derailment of toxic chemicals causing a massive explosion and deadly event in East Palestine, Ohio. I don't know how true that is, but maybe someone could respond to me on that and let me know. It is on Netflix. I guess I could go check it out. So they have a video on circulating right now. A security film shows sparks or flames 20 miles before the train derailment in East Palestine. So something malfunctioned, something went wrong roughly 20 miles before the train actually derailed. We've obtained two videos which show preliminary indications of mechanical issues on one of the rail car axles. So apparently, from what we're understanding, again, this is all kind of breaking information. I don't have all the facts in hand. I don't know for sure, but from what I'm understanding, it appears the axles came off of this thing. I don't know how that happens. I don't know even to begin to understand that, but it looks like that's exactly what happened here. An axle malfunction, which caused the derailment. Norfolk Southern Corporation, with a total assets worth $38 billion in 2020, operates the railway that caused the toxic chemical release in East Palestine, Ohio. Last Monday, the company made a $25,000 donation to assist evacuating residents. Shorthand, deep pockets there, Norfolk. So it says here, Norfolk Southern Corporation manages 19,420 route miles in 22 eastern states and the District of Columbia, and has rights in Canada over the Canadian Pacific Railway Albany and Montreal route. Around 6% of its deliveries are actually chemical-based. So here, a Facebook update yesterday from a Darlington, Pennsylvania kennel owner says 20 minutes outside, they had horrible headaches, runny nose, burning, and swollen eyes, pulsations within the eye sockets, itchy throat, and coughing. And that is in Darlington, Pennsylvania, so that's not even anywhere near where this occurred. So here's the post. Let me see if I can read it. It's very hard to read. As many of you already know, our kennel and home reside on the state line between East Palestine, Ohio, and Darlington, Pennsylvania, the location in which the train derailment and subsequent controlled detonation of five vinyl chloride cars occurred. This is essentially our backyard. Okay, so it's closer than I realize. I apologize for that, folks. See, I'm learning this in real time like you. This is essentially our backyard and on the same road as our home, boarding/training business, and our beloved blank kennel. They blurted out. The derailment occurred on Friday, February 3rd in the evening. Many people were immediately evacuated within a 1 mile radius. We are 1.2 miles from the accident to driveway. However, less than half of a mile from the edge of our 26 acres to the crash site, which was up in flames. We were told we could stay for the time being. The fire continued for days. We ended up keeping the boarding kennel open and offering free boarding services to the fire evacuation families to provide a safe place for their dogs to stay while they themselves evacuate their homes. It's very courteous of them. On Sunday afternoon, though, the situation changed very quickly. We were made aware that the temperature in the five vinyl chloride cars was increasing, and they were worried about a catastrophic failure, and the cars would explode on their own. The emergency personnel decided it was best to perform a controlled detonation of the five cars. So now a 1 by 2 mile radius, which included our home and kennels, were being evacuated as of Sunday at 8 p.m. So it goes on and on and on and on. Says here that the next morning, just a few hours before the detonation, we evacuated an additional 9 horses. They're basically just kind of going over what they were doing. The controlled detonation took place around 4:30 p.m. on Monday afternoon, and a big black smoke plume went into the air when vinyl chloride... Yeah, no, it's just not good. This is a long post. I'm not going to read all of it, but they just kind of were going over what they had to go through. And so the EPA's here says the liability letter sent to Norfolk Southern Railway Company, cars containing vinyl chloride, butyl acrylate, ethylhexyl acrylate, and ethylene glycol monobutyl ether are known to have been and continue to be released into the air. That's according to the EPA, is continuing to be released in the air. And that is as of, that was a day ago. The EPA releases a manifest last night from Norfolk Southern summarizing more chemicals that were released in East Palestine, Ohio. There's another video here. We can bring it up real quick so you guys can hear it. See what he says. I have not watched this video, so I don't know if it's actually anything interesting or not. We'll bring it up here real quick.
Of diethylene glycol. One of the cars completely spilled and two of them were leaking. This chemical is flammable, it's toxic, it's used in the manufacturing of plastics, it's also used in some brake fluids. Based on the tank car class, that's these things here, there is at least 16,000 gallons that were lost. No definitive indication whether if it was burned or if it was just spilled. There's one car of polypropylene glycol that was breached. This is also a chemical that's used in the manufacturing of plastics. It is considered to have low toxicity to humans. However, 16,000 gallons of it pouring into the ground isn't great. There's one tank car of propylene glycol, not to be confused with polypropylene glycol, propylene glycol, or PG, as people who vape would know. It's low toxicity. It's used in some food products. It's used in vape liquids. But again, 16,000 gallons of it pouring into the ground, not good. The butyl acrylate that they did mention earlier, there was one tank car. It was breached and then caught on fire. It's very flammable, so I assume that that has all been burned away. Talk about cars that we know burn. So we have two hopper cars of PE, that's polyethylene plastic. These are going to be hopper cars of little plastic pellets used in a ton of different stuff, like all over your house, plastic bottles, toys. Four hopper cars of what is labeled as polyvinyl. Hopper car, so I'm assuming that this is PVC, polyvinyl chloride pellets. On the railroad, there's one burned, there's one burning, and two that had some amount burned. There are toxic byproducts to the PVC burning, like the vinyl chloride burning itself. One car of balls burned, one car of sheet steel burned, one car of frozen veg, and then one car of powdered flakes. Not sure what the flakes are. List an unknown status for the ethylene glycol monobutyl and the ethylhexyl acrylate. Isobutylene was not breached. Now, this is the big thing. There were two cars of petroleum oil completely gone, and three that lost some amount. These kinds of tank cars can hold anywhere from 16 to 30,000 gallons. What we're really talking about here is an oil spill. 1 gallon of petroleum oil spilled can pollute up to 1 million gallons of groundwater. Some things that we didn't know. There were three train cars of diethylene glycol.
All right, so there's just more information. It's pretty concerning. Says here, Norfolk Southern Railroad pulled 180,000 gallons of oil and water from East Palestine train derailment site. The company issued a remediation plan to the Ohio Environmental Protection Agency on Monday, detailing its recovery efforts. I mean, the photo of the area is just like, it's like a war zone. It looked like a bomb went off and destroyed this train. Hazmat specialist is concerned authorities aren't testing for phosgene, hydrogen chloride, and dioxins in East Palestine, Ohio. Phosgene takes a special photoionization lamp or special meter. What are they checking for? They only give lists of what they have found. It says here what they found. They are not telling you what they are checking for. Norfolk Southern checking your house out is like the fox guarding the hen house. You don't know the long-term health effects. Absolutely. And that's a concern too, because, you know, Norfolk Southern is going to be looking out for their own best interests. And I'm not generally somebody who speaks that way, but listen, I get it. The last thing they want is a gigantic sort of calamity where they're going to end up losing millions/billions of dollars. So they are trying to contain this as much as they can. The last thing they want to do is go into the nearby neighborhood where this thing, the nearby neighborhoods of that are around this railway, and find out that all these homes are contaminated with chemicals that could kill or cause cancer. They would much rather not probably find that and be on down the road and deal with a lawsuit 20 years from now, because, you know, they could maybe prove that there wasn't them. Who knows? But, so yeah, so here it says our resident scoops up dead fish and frogs 4 miles south, 4 miles south of the train derailment. That's 4 miles south of the train derailment where residents are scooping up dead fish and frogs. So now this thing's 4 miles at this point. This was 5 hours ago that this was posted. And toxic chemical release in East Palestine, Ohio, a single dip of my net, I collected nearly two dozen dead or near dead aquatic animals. This is unbelievable. So we have here a mother talks about her 9-year-old asthmatic son reaction to toxic chemical release in Palestine, Ohio. He was projectile vomiting across the floor out of nowhere. He was shaking, begging for water. He said he couldn't breathe. He broke out he broke out with some rashes. I'm terrified to go back. Yeah, no kidding. I wouldn't go back. You couldn't pay me to go back. And that's pretty much the most update I have there. And then we have, I believe that is the most up-to-date news and information that I have on that situation. I'm going through all my articles right now as we speak to try to find anything new that might have popped up, but I don't see anything. But certainly Norfolk Southern is going to have to be held accountable for this. We're going to need to have some private third-party testing companies coming out there, testing the soil, testing homes, testing the air. We cannot rely on the EPA. We certainly cannot rely on anyone Norfolk Southern provides, because Norfolk Southern is going to be biased in this situation. The EPA can't be trusted because the EPA has let us down numerous times before in the past. They're part of the same conglomerates that led us through this whole COVID-19 pandemic. None of them can be trusted with the truth. If you think the government has your best interest in mind, I would point you towards the Camp Lejeune lawsuit going on right now. The federal government does not have your best interest in mind. They have their best bottom line in mind. That's the only thing they care about. They will not update buildings. They will not update plumbing systems, electrical systems, whatever it takes. They don't care. They'll use it until it absolutely, positively must be replaced. And in some instances, that leads to people getting sick and at worst getting cancer and maybe even dying. And that is kind of what this whole lawsuit over at Camp Lejeune is all about. And so, I don't know what's going on. There's so much stuff going on right now. We've got 4 aircraft that have been shot out of the sky, unidentified aircraft that have been shot out of the sky over the past week or so, one of which they don't even know what it is. The other one over was a Yukon. They can't find it. The one in, they finally have started to pull up the wreckage from the first balloon off the coast of the Carolinas. The one that flew over Lake Huron, I guess it was about the size of a car. It was flat, maybe. I saw an article. I don't know if I can find it real quick, but something about how they fired at it and it missed. So they didn't shoot it down. But needless to say, we're not getting a whole lot of information on this. And so we're getting kind of confusing information. We're finding out they are balloons. They're not balloons. There's an article titled here, three downed UFOs, likely commercial, benign, not part of Chinese spy balloon program. There's an article here, U.S. military shoots down another suspicious object over Lake Huron. That happened just the other day. That's the fourth object to be shot down by U.S. forces over North America in just over a week. The latest high-altitude object was shot down over Lake Huron. U.S. forces downed the object Sunday afternoon after the Federal Aviation Administration issued a National Defense Airspace temporary flight restriction Sunday afternoon over part of Lake Michigan. The restriction was removed after several hours. U.S. military has decommissioned another object over Lake Huron, Michigan Rep. Jack Burgum says, tweeted Sunday, I appreciate the decisive action of our fighter pilots. The American people deserve far more answers than we have. Before Sunday, the United States downed three objects within a week that were believed to be surveillance balloons. Officials said that the object shot down Sunday in the Midwest appeared shaped like an octagon with strings hanging from it. It was shot down out of abundance of caution to ensure no civilian aircraft were endangered. They informed me that an F-16 using an AIM-9 missile had shot down an octagonal structure over Lake Huron. The altitude was about 20,000 feet, said in a phone interview aired by Fox News. It's interesting to me, first of all, that they used an AIM-9 missile. I'm an ordnance man. AIM-9 missiles are great. They're air-to-air missiles. They're usually used to shoot down other enemy fighter or aircraft. They are, if I remember correctly, they are heat-seeking. So they need some sort of thermal tone to go after the target. It's going to be an AIM-9X for sure, because AIM-9X is what we use now. It's the latest and greatest Sidewinder. AIM-9X. Let's pull up the information on AIM-9X. Give you guys a little ordnance. But it is yeah. So it's infrared honing. So I guess there is the AIM-9C, which is a semi-active radar homing, which I guess it could use that. So it's somewhat radar guided. I'm not saying that it wasn't an AIM-9 that they used. It just seems strange to me that they would use the AIM-9. There's a lot of other armaments that would be probably a little more, which would have worked a little bit better. But anyway, I'm getting off topic here. But yeah, so there's another one shot down. It's octagon shape. Another thing too to note, which I think is interesting, is how they don't know what it is. Or at least they're not telling us what it is. They're saying they don't know. I find it hard to believe that they don't know. You would think that you'd want to put eyes on it before you shot it down. But, you know, hey, who knows? they just know it's an octagon-like shaped object. And so that's going on. So we have train derailment, aircraft being shot out of the sky, drone balloon, or excuse me, spy balloons, and Lord knows whatever else. And then, so I was looking into this, and I had heard I was watching the news on this train incident. They're finally starting to talk about it a week later, and this is what's concerning to me, is the fact that we are finding out about this train derailment a week after it happens. In this case, really about two, we're at this point, we're at 2 weeks, almost 2 weeks from today. But nobody knew about it a few days ago. Why is this being covered up? Why aren't we hearing more about it? Why isn't more awareness not being raised? Where was Pete Buttigieg, the Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, where was he when all this kicked off? Because this is a major catastrophic event. And I would expect him to comment, since this is his department, which is poorly run, by the way, which it's no wonder since he's taken over and since he's been in office, we've had issues with the FAA, their software, their system shut down. We've got train derailments becoming a problem. There says here, I read, there's an article here from Newsweek that more than a dozen trains have derailed in the United States this year alone. The article says the explosive train derailment that recently led to the evacuation of an Ohio town, which nobody heard about for about a week later, which is crazy, was among more than a dozen reported rail wrecks in the U.S. since last year began. On February 3rd, a tanker train derailed in the Ohio town of East Palestine near the state border of Pennsylvania, blah, blah, blah. The crash led to multiple explosions and chemical leaks, prompting the governors of both states to issue evacuation notices for the town and its surrounding areas. The fiery crash was one of more than a dozen train derailments reported in the U.S. this year, only 1.5 months into 2023. Another wreck on January 19th also occurred in Ohio, with several train cars stretching over miles derailing between the towns of Trinway and Adams Mill, according to the Times Recorder. It was considerably less destructive than the one in East Palestine, as the cars were empty, though cleanup efforts were projected to last for a week. Most of the reported crashes this year, three in total, occurred in South Carolina, though one has not been fully confirmed by Newsweek. The first took place January 9th in Lake City, with 20 cars derailing after the train struck an empty car left on the tracks. No injuries or deaths were reported. The next one occurred near Loris January 21st, involving multiple cars carrying rocks and gravel tipping, which tipped over. And the third incident reportedly near Enore on Monday remains a developing story with few details available. Two other crashes took place in remote parts of California, with at least one reportedly carrying grain. No details emerged about the other train's cargo, though officials did confirm that the derailment did not result in any leaks. A pair of derailments notably occurred in major metro areas on February 1st. The train fell off the tracks in Detroit, Michigan, leaving several cars hanging over the side of a bridge. The other incident involved a passenger train in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which resulted in no deaths or injuries. The remaining derailments that Newsweek could verify took place in Alabama, Alaska, Louisiana, and Texas. The Bureau of Transportation statistics found that 54,539 train derailments occurred in the U.S. from 1990 to 2021. That's an average of 1,704 per year. While that statistic may be higher than most would expect, deaths from derailments are much less common, with the Bureau's findings placing the yearly average at four since 1990. Well, that's obvious because there's usually only a couple people riding on these trains. So if they derail out in the middle of nowhere, it's very likely that nobody's going to get hurt. And it's usually not the motor car that's getting derailed and falling off. It's usually what it's towing. This is insanity. There needs to be something done with the, I mean, that's very concerning. It makes you kind of what makes you a little nervous being near a train when you're driving near a train track to hear this kind of data. You would think that this would be a relatively safe operation. You would think that they would have these machines well-oiled, well-maintained to the degree that they need to be. Being that it is such a huge problem, I would think that maybe there needs to be some changes made and maybe some money put into it. Unfortunately, I don't expect that to happen from people like Pete Buttigieg. While this train car is burning in Palestine, Ohio, he is crickets. He is too busy talking about equity and how construction jobs that are being granted, finally, apparently, they've been not granted for so long, but now they're finally being approved in communities of color. He is saying the problem, though, is that the communities are look at the workers and realize they're not from the community, which is to imply that these guys are white and the community's black, and why are they here? It's ridiculous. It's so stupid. That's not going to solve our problems. First of all, it's not going to bring us together. It's not going to help anybody. The reality of it is the construction world is a very diverse group of individuals. You could make the argument that it's primarily Hispanic, and it has been that way since the 90s. I would probably argue that that is the case. maybe more on the construction level. If you're looking at the local trades and, you know, utilities, city workers, that may not be the case. But as far as like, if you go to a construction site where they're building homes, I can guarantee you that 90% of the people building those homes are Hispanic. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just simply saying that it's not a bunch of white guys. Like Pete wants you to believe. But regardless of that, it doesn't matter. What we want is the qualified, competent people to go do these jobs. We want the right people to go do those jobs. That's the what we want. We don't care about what race or color, creed, religion, sex, whatever they are. We don't care. We just care that they can do the job and they want to do the job. Most people don't want to do that kind of work anymore. It's one of the reasons why we're having such a hard time finding people to fill those spots. So I don't expect him to come around and give us any kind of actual solutions. He's kind of in over his head here. I wouldn't trust him to, you know, change a tire, let alone actually fix something, fix the roads or fix the rail system, which is clearly very, very in need of some maintenance. It needs to be rebuilt. They need to treat trains like they do airplanes and have a strict maintenance schedule. But I understand that that takes money and it takes manpower, and they probably don't have that, and they're having a hard time fulfilling those positions. But we have to do something. You know, maybe there needs to be a career day in these schools and bring attention to the kids in the vast career opportunities in the rail system. You know, come get a job with Norfolk Southern, where you can clean up chemicals. You got to bring your own PPE, though. So much as that is going on. We have the trains. We've got the planes shooting down. And as if things weren't crazy enough, now we are talking, and we've been talking about it, and I didn't want to bring it up. But, you know, you have to think, with everything that's going on right now, it's, you know, I don't like to talk about conspiracy theories, and I'm not a big conspiracy theorist, although it is fun to kind of discuss them amongst friends and just kind of laugh about it a little bit. But most of the time, you don't really take them seriously. You know what I mean? Most of them are kind of like, haha, yeah, it's funny. Bigfoot, whatever. But when you start to see so many things have begun to happen, you have our complete transportation infrastructure is under collapse. Airplanes, trains, road systems. It's all just falling apart. And it has been for the last couple of years. It seems to be escalating very quickly. It's strange. Definitely a head scratcher at best. You've got things flying into the country that don't belong. We know for sure that one of them was a Chinese spy balloon. We don't know what the other three objects were, fair enough, but we have objects floating into our airspace that are being shot down. Not only that, but there's a crisis in the grocery store. If you haven't been paying attention, which you probably have because you go grocery shopping, you're seeing the price of goods go up. You would know that there has been widespread destruction of food processing plants, chicken hatcheries, chicken farms, that have mysteriously been just going up in flames. As of February 7th, 2023, two more major food processing plants were destroyed. Continuing what has been an ongoing destruction of food production plants around the globe. This isn't just an American problem, it's a global problem, including upwards of at least 700 in the United States since President Joe Biden took office. Maybe it's related, maybe it's not, but some food for thought. A seafood processing factory in Canada burned to the ground over the weekend, followed on Monday by the destruction of the largest egg farm in New Zealand. In case you were wondering why eggs were in such short supply or have gone up significantly in price, that's one of the reasons why. The W.E. Acres crab meal plant in New Brunswick suffered with what the company's owner declared as a total loss from the blaze. That's reported the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. Although a cause for the fire has not been officially determined, and despite suspect circumstances surrounding the inferno, authorities insisted that it is not arson. It was not arson. The building's owner, while also denying any theory of arson, told CTV News that an explosion of unknown origin and an oil drum ignited the blaze inside the plant. And yeah, no sign of arson, but just a random oil drum decided to blow up, which produces seafood, fertilizer, and animal feed as a major disturber in Canada, the United States, and globally. Somebody on Twitter tweeted, "What the F is going on?" It's one of many similar accidents, quotations, recently. What, are we supposed to starve to death? Question mark. Maybe that's what they want. The question took on added urgency when the incident was followed internationally on Monday by a fire at New Zealand's largest egg producer that killed at least 75,000 hens, according to Zero Hedge. Egg supplies are tight, so this will not assist that in any way, said Michael Brooks, executive director of the Egg Producers Federation. The dual blazes mirror the destruction of myriad other food processing plants, a disturbing trend that prompted the FBI to issue a warning last spring. Ransomware actors may be more likely to attack agricultural cooperatives during critical planting and harvest seasons, disrupting operations, causing financial loss, and negatively impacting the food supply chain, the Bureau advised. Bureau. Can't talk today. Last September, it was reported that nearly 700 food processing plants had been destroyed since Biden took office. The wreckage was impacting not only the United States, but also other countries and global supply chains. If I had any doubts about this being on purpose, that is completely gone at this point, an independent researcher told the Gateway pundit at the time. It's almost terrifying seeing what is going on, and the majority of people have no idea. Every day, something else happens to add to this list. Subsequent events have added to concerns. The incidents of food processing facilities been burned to cinders in the U.S. alone have included a flour mill in Oregon that went up in flames, the giant JBS USA meat processing plant in Nebraska that caught fire, costing the U.S. about 5% of its beef supply, a fire that forced Taylor Farms Food in California to stop production, and Azure Standard, one of the country's largest organic food producers, burned to the ground. Preceding the New Zealand fire, the United States' third-largest egg-producing plant burned down last month amidst a national egg shortage. The fire at Connecticut's Hillendale Farms destroyed thousands of hens and has yet to be explained. Elijah Schaefer said on Twitter, "How did one of the largest egg production plants burn down during a national egg shortage? How does this happen? Is it just coincidental timing, or is there something else going on here?" Some conspiracy theories here. This a person commented, Saddle Broke commented here on this article, that these fires are not accidents. They're extremely well-planned fires by global elites to advance their agenda of global power over the people. Biden has said more than once that a serious food shortage was going to happen in the near future, and my opinion is that Biden is part of this destruction. Maybe. You know, we all laugh and want to mock people who come up with conspiracy theories, but let's look at the facts. Let's look at what's going on. We know that the WEF and these globalist elites that all get together and meet, we know that they don't like us eating meat. They don't want us to be eating animals. They don't want you consuming animal product. They would rather you be consuming a vegan diet. There are famous people who are promoting eating insects at this point. You'll eat insects and like it. You'll own nothing and like it. These are comments that we keep hearing. The cost of rent has gone up. The cost of buying a home has gone up tremendously because of investments made by companies like BlackRock, who are manipulating the markets, who are making it nearly impossible for the everyday person to go out and buy a home. The idea is you will own nothing and like it. So maybe there is something to this. Maybe this is calculated. Maybe these are attacks that have been put on to the system. Maybe the United States is under attack by a foreign enemy. We don't even realize it. What's the best way to destroy a superpower? Certainly not with war. You could never really fight the United States at war. We would win that war every time. We are one of the strongest, most capable, most prominent, efficient militaries in the world. You're not going to fight us and win. Even China knows this. And China's probably the closest adversary in the world that could take us on. So how would you do it? Well, you could do it from inside through the infrastructure, attack the food supply, attack the food chain, destroy railways, cars, airplanes, shut down the airways keep ground airplanes, which is what has happened. Could it be the Russians? Very well could be. They're very good at hacking systems. They're very, very good at cyber warfare. They're probably better than we are at it. So at this point, you kind of ask yourself, what is really going on here? And you just have to ask the questions. You have to kind of speculate a little bit. You can't just put your head in the sand and go, no, 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 this isn't a conspiracy. It's just coincidence. I don't think it's coincidence that over 700 facilities have burned down in the United States alone. I really don't. So what do we do? Well, I don't know. But we need to be diligent. We need to keep our eyes open. We need to ask questions, and we need not trust the media, because the media doesn't want you to know about the things that are important. They certainly didn't want you to know about the thing that happened in Palestine. They waited a week to report it. The mainstream media didn't start finally reporting it until people on YouTube and Twitter were getting louder and louder about it. They were forced to. They had to say something. I'm sure they got the call down from the big guy in Washington and told, yeah, you can talk about it now, because everybody on social media is already coming up with theories and conspiracies. We need to get in front of this. We need to set the narrative. A man who was there reporting it on the ground for, I believe it was, wasn't Newsmax, it wasn't Newsweek. He was a reporter. He got arrested. He was simply standing there reporting on the scene, and a guardsman, an unidentified guardsman, rank unknown, got in his face, pushed on him. And then the next thing you know, this man's pulled out by what looks like marshals. They were definitely sheriffs, probably, at least. They were police officers or sheriffs or somebody. Could have been federal officers. Don't know. They were in kind of regular clothing. They were wearing polos, but they had badges on that looked like stars. They had stars looking badges on them. They took this man away and arrested him. What did he do wrong? He didn't do anything wrong. He was there reporting on the scene. He was told he was not allowed to be there. Why? Why was he not allowed to be there? Why are they trying to suppress the media over here in Ohio? What is going on? How many people are going to get sick? How many people 10 years from now are going to come down with cancer because of this leak? How many people are going to get sick and die because negligence? Because of the negligence of the media, Norfolk Southern, and the U.S. government in this situation? Trust me. You'll see the ads on TV. Did you live in Palestine, Ohio in February of 2023? Well, you may be entitled to compensation. Call the law offices of Morgan & Morgan. Yeah, thanks. Too late now. I've lost my father or mother, my son or my daughter. My life has been turned upside down because somebody got cancer because of negligence of Norfolk Southern and the federal government. Because they're not maintaining these trains. Maybe this train was destroyed for malevolent reasons. Maybe it was attacked. Maybe it was a terrorist attack. Maybe the train is just poorly maintained and the axles came off and the train crashed. Either one could be true. Either way, we deserve to know what the truth is, and there needs to be action taken. If, in fact, it was a terrorist attack, we need to know who did it, why they did it, and we need to go find them. And we need to stop it from happening in the future. We need to update the security of our railways. If this is a soft target, then we need to fix that. And so, but if it was simply negligence and lack of maintenance, well, then we need to fix that too. We need to increase the maintenance regimen on these trains like they do with airplanes. Airplanes are so overly maintained. It's ridiculous. I worked in there for the federal government. I worked on aircraft. I know what the maintenance schedules are like on those aircraft. It is insane. Should be the same way for trains. And if it's expensive, well, then put some money towards it. If we're going to put our money towards anything, it should be that. I am more than happy for my taxpayer dollars to go towards infrastructure. But the problem is 9 times out of 10, it never goes to infrastructure. It goes somewhere else. It goes to something completely different. It goes to Ukraine. Billions of dollars are going to Ukraine for what? To fight a war that doesn't concern us? Oh, but David, democracy. What democracy? Ukraine is one of the most corrupt countries in the world. Why are we helping them? How do we know where this money is going? Who's getting this money? And how? Let's do an audit on Ukraine to see where it's going. I bet you they won't. You, the American citizen, the American taxpayer, the one that they are pulling your dollars out of your pocket after you worked a really hard day all week, you're sweating, you're tired, and you want to enjoy the weekend, little federal Uncle Sam comes in and reaches in your pocket and takes that dollar out. He's taking that dollar and giving it to Ukraine, and you will never know. You will never know where that dollar went or what it went to. And guess what? It doesn't matter. The Republicans won't find out. The Democrats will never find out. Definitely the Democrats are never going to look into it. Because they're all in on it together. You want to talk about a conspiracy? I think the Ukraine thing is one of the biggest, is one of the largest levels of money laundering in the United States, in U.S. history. How much do you want to bet that some of that $40 billion is funneling its way back here into the pockets of some of these politicians? Primarily the ones that had flown over there to support this war. And are lecturing you and I on how we need to pay and help them out and support Ukraine and democracy. Mm-hmm. How about we start by supporting our democracy? How about we fix our house before we go and try and fix somebody else's house? Because we've got plenty to keep us busy here, clearly, with 1,200 train derailments. My point to all this is there's something big going on. It could just be the country's falling apart because of negligence. It could be some globalist agenda where they're all planning and scheming against us, which is believable considering they really don't hide their ideas from us. All you have to do is go to the watch the World Economic Forum and watch all these people, listen to all these people and what they have to say. They don't really hide their ideas. It sounds like almost like a cheesy Bond movie when you listen to some of these people and what they have to say. But they do. So it could be anything. My point is you need to be self-sufficient. You need to be smart. You need to do your own research. Pay attention because the media is not going to tell you what you should hear, only what they want you to hear. It might be time for you to have a plan. You might want to have some canned food stored up. If you can raise your own chickens, raise your own chickens. I think it's a fantastic idea. I would love to, but I can't. I don't have a, where I live is not conducive to do such a thing. But if I lived on some property, I would certainly, even if I had a little bit bigger property than I have now, I would raise chickens for sure. If you can plant a garden, plant a garden. You know, plant some fruit trees. If you know a farmer, if you know a cattle rancher that lives near you, maybe you can talk to them and work something out. Maybe you can buy half a cow or a whole cow, which we call that freezer beef in the carnivore diet community. You can actually buy an entire cow or half a cow. I strongly recommend you looking into that regardless of how you feel about the current times. It's a fantastic idea because you can save a lot of money. Go straight to the butcher or straight to the cattle rancher, rather, if you have that ability. You can get it from a butcher too. But you can also go right to the source in some places and you can literally get half of a cow and you can put it all in your deep freezer and you can eat on that for a very long time. So it may likely come down to stuff like that, folks, because it looks like something's going on. We can't ignore it anymore. We can't pretend like this is some coincidence. We can't, again, it could be anything. Who knows? I happen to believe that it's probably something malevolent, and I have to believe that there's some actors at play here. It's just the way my brain's going right now. This is way too much of a coincidence otherwise. It's time to prepare. It's time to do our research. It's time to get involved any way you can, especially in your local community. And it's time that we start electing people that we believe have our best interests in mind. And that may very well mean that you have to vote the guy out that won the last election. And it very well mean that you may have to vote for a party that you don't like. Or it may be time to just introduce a new party. Because Democrats and Republicans, they're not really doing it for us anymore. Because for the last 10 or 20 years, from what I can tell, it's really just what's best for them, not what's best for us. And remember, they work for us. do you really think supporting Ukraine is what's best for you? Sure, you can sympathize with the people of Ukraine. Sure, it's terrible what Putin's doing. Nobody's going to deny that the invasion is a bad thing. But do you really think it's smart when we have record high deficits, record high inflation? The price of goods have gone through the roof. It hasn't come back down. Inflation still at this point is an all-time high. Even though Biden likes to lie and say it's down, it's still over 4%. And so do you think it's smart that we give money away that we don't have to a country that otherwise is means nothing to us? That's not going to, there's no return there for in our, in that investment. As far as I can tell, maybe you do. Maybe you know something I don't. Tell me, hit me up on social media. It's time we get rid of these people. Lindsey Graham's got to go. He's got to go. Mitch McConnell's got to go. I'm going to put it this way. If the politician is over 60 or has been in Washington, D.C. for more than five or six, well, for more than 10 years, they need to go. It's time to clean house. And I've been saying that for a long time. They all need to be fired. It's time to vote somebody else in. And I'll put people like Dan Crenshaw on that chopping block as far as I'm concerned, because Dan Crenshaw has done some things that I don't agree with myself, and I'm very disappointed in him. As a man who I thought very highly of, he has voted on some legislation that I just do not agree with. I understand that he's kind of the guy that likes to reach across the aisle and make deals, but at the same time, some deals cannot just be made. They shouldn't be made at all. Yeah, here's an article. Lindsey Graham strikes again with planned rubber stamp 2 million illegal aliens. Who is Lindsey Graham working for? Is he working for his constituency or is he working for someone else? He almost sounds like a Democrat. So, yeah. And then on top of all that, you had the satanic ritual at the Grammys, which I was going to talk about, but I'm not going. I didn't because I'm like, nah. So just further proof that our entertainment, the entertainment world is completely gone. They've just lost their damn minds. They're full-time Satanists, satanic people. I'd hide your kids from it for sure. I wouldn't let them near Disney. I wouldn't let them near Nickelodeon. Nickelodeon has a whole section now for transgender kid stuff. It's getting out of hand, man. We are falling apart as a country. Politically, infrastructurally wise, culturally, we are just falling apart. And so with that being said, folks, listen, you got to make a plan. You got to get your stuff together. Figure it out. Pay attention. The news is not telling you what you want to hear. That's for sure. It blows my mind. It blows my mind that this didn't get, that this train wreck didn't get the news coverage that it did, which is making me go, why? Why were they not talking about it? Because this is a breaking story. I mean, this is big time news. Or did the shock collars get told, nope, don't do it. Don't talk about it. Try to avoid it. Talk about something else. Talk about a weather balloon we shot down over Lake Huron. Don't look behind the curtain, everybody. And on that note, folks, hopefully on the next episode, I'll have a little bit more upbeat news. I'm trekking along on season 8 of The Walking Dead. Oh, Lord above, Lord above. If you've been following along on The Walking Dead special, please continue along. If you haven't checked it out, go back and check it out. It's actually pretty good. I've gotten some good feedback on it. People are enjoying it, which is great. And I appreciate that very much. I've, for the most part, I've enjoyed doing it. Although I will say it's getting a little more difficult as we move along. Season 8 is where things kind of go off the rails. No pun intended. Sorry. The writing is just kind of not very good. And so I'm probably, I would say, halfway through. give or take. Yeah, I'm maybe not even halfway through at this point. I'm actually looking at the list of this episodes. I might be wrong about that. But anyway, check back on that. That should post up later this week, if not earlier next week. Depends on how fast I can get through the season. Go back and listen to the older ones if you haven't listened to it yet. And also hit me up on social media. Let me know what you think of what is going on with all the food, the chickens. Let me know what you think about this train. Why is the media not talking about it? Well, they're talking about it now. But something kind of forced their hand to. They weren't talking about it a week ago when they should have been. So thank you guys for listening to The Rant. I appreciate it. I love you so much. If you like this show, please go rate and review it on wherever you listen to your podcast. It's Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, Google. You can go on there and rate it. Share it with a friend. Tell a friend about it. It doesn't cost you a dime, but it helps me out so much. So tell your friends about it. And hit me up on social media. Let me know what you think about everything else. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a great night. We'll hit you back up soon. Stay safe. And if you live in Ohio, buy a respirator. Bye now.
Son of a bitch.